This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody, in a very rainy Ocala, Florida.
You want to say who you are?
Oh, Glenn the Geek. I figured, you know, we've been doing this show for 6 years. They should know who we are by now.
I'm like, he's not following along with the script at all. I'm Jamie Jennings from I'm actually coming at you from Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 12th, episode 1715, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday!
What a weekend! Oh my gosh, it was so exciting to have. Well, I thought it ended up being a really exciting Belmont Stakes. We also had some personal excitement at Flyover Farm. I saw a ton of listeners were out horse showing over the weekend. It was such a good horsey weekend. It's that time of year where everybody's getting out and finally doing stuff. So how was y'all's weekend?
It was good. We actually had a kind of a horsey weekend too. We played with the ponies, took them out for rides and drives, and did a lot of farm work over the weekend. I did not get all the way through Orange is the New Black because we were too busy with stuff around here.
Oh my gosh, on a beautiful weekend, Saturday and Sunday in Ocala in June, you didn't just stay inside and watch TV? What?
I wanted to, but I didn't.
He went out and made his pony trot around the neighborhood.
Yeah. That little bugger was actually, for the first time, looked like a Hackney. It was actually looking like a Hackney for the first time.
Oh, did you put some chains around his ankles and really get him to step up?
Yes, put the heavy shoes on. I don't know what was with him the other day. He just was feeling good, and we hadn't been out in a while, so I think that was what did it.
I noticed that you like to post on Facebook, like, this is my view right now. What is your view? And because you get up so or early.
Yeah,
that's a very popular. You can explain that in a second. Every time I see that, I want to post my view, which is like my feet laying in bed.
Well, that'd be okay, so early too. There were a couple people that said they couldn't post their view right now. So I figured that was the same view they were having right there. But I was shocked at the number of people who posted their views. There were like 50 comments on that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it is kind of neat to see what people are seeing. And, God, some of these people live in some beautiful spots with some beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
I really liked, there was the little one with the ducks that were sitting in the carrier. That was cute. I mean, there were some really cute ones. But then you had the post. We're going to talk about it in a couple of minutes. But you had the post of the weekend.
Lord have mercy.
Jennifer, what's going on?
That horse is going to be the death of me. My marriage.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following a quick-paced review of Saturday's interesting Belmont Stakes, we're going to take a break for a Dude Ranch visit. That's right. Tamara Lawson of the Arizona Dude Ranch Association is going to stop by and tell us all about how to dude ranch in Arizona. How about that? And at the finish, the Wacky World of Horse Nation finds Leslie hanging out with her two new Mongol Derby besties, Rachel Land and Claire Summers, and they're going to chat about what's going to happen at the Mongol Derby versus what they want to happen at the Mongol Derby. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yeah, very excited. Leslie's bringing us fellow competitors that are going this year over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to meet some of the people that she's going to be hanging out with in Mongolia. And we did want to mention that Jamie sounds the way she does because she is on a phone because she forgot her microphone again.
Listen, when you hear about the morning I had on Saturday trying to get out here, you'll understand.
Daily Winnies. Can I just give my Daily Winnie to the person who invented the eventing air vest? When you I don't know if you saw the pictures from the Herald Sun in Australia over the weekend of the nasty fall that the rider took and the pictures that were involved in that nasty fall. The horse just tripped and went over, basically, on top of the rider. I mean, and of course, I cannot get to the website because it wants me to buy a membership at the Herald Sun. But the horse was rolling over on top of the rider, and the rider's leg was pinned back toward their body. I don't know how she didn't break her leg, but the only thing that saved that rider from massive internal injuries, was that air vest. And they both got up and were fine. And they didn't even take the rider to the hospital. I don't know how she didn't break her leg. And I do know that the only thing that saved her from an entire rib cage full of broken ribs was the air vest. So my Daily Winnie goes out to the whoever invented that should go to heaven because they have saved so many riders with that thing.
They really riders are. And motorcycle riders, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And I wish I could post the pictures, but the Herald Sun has seen
fit. I got it.
You do? Okay, good.
Because I snatched it.
Apparently, you can only go to the Herald Sun once without becoming a member. So, hate that. All right, here we go. Your turn.
Hi, baby Sarah. I'm going to give my Daily Winnie, I can't give it to the person because you'll understand, I just can't, but I can give it to the horse. So I'm going to give my Daily Winnie to Songbird, who is a mare that, you know, is just unbeatable. And she's lost one race, and I believe it was in the Distaff last year in the Breeders' Cup. She's an absolutely amazing mare, and she made her comeback this weekend in the $750,000 Ogden Phipps Stakes for fillies and mares at Belmont in the undercard before the Belmont race on Saturday. She was ridden. Hold on.
Do you know how many races he won on Saturday?
I'm getting to that. So she was ridden by Mike Smith. And I just wanted to, I'm going to give it to Songbird because I can't give it to Mike Smith because I just physically can't do it. However, I wanted to mention that Mike Smith won 5 of 7 stakes races he rode in on Saturday with Bob Baffert as a trainer in 4 of those. The last time Mike Smith won 5 races at Belmont was in 1991. And he's 51 years old. Like, that's whatever. That's incredible.
Is that like a $250,000 day? It's a pretty good day.
So let's see. The $1.2 million Metropolitan Handicap he won with More Spirit. He won the $700,000 Acorn, with Abel Tasman. He won the $500,000 Woody Stevens with American Anthem and the $150,000 Easy Goer with West Coast. And then the $750,000 with Songbird. Get away from me.
10%.
You know what? If I'd have been... that's a lot of money. He had a good day. That guy went out and bought somebody a group dinner last night for sure. Yeah. So anyway, my Daily Winnie does not go to him. It goes to Songbird for an amazing comeback.
Because obviously, however, Songbird would have done that race without him.
Obviously.
Speaking of races, I have it queued up. Do you want me to play it?
Yes, let's do it. Because I think of all of this, we have learned that Jennifer can pick them.
They're all in line. Ready for the start. They're off in the Belmont Stakes. Irish War Cry and Taprid had very good beginnings, and Meantime is sent along on the outside of them to show early speed. These three will take them into the first turn. Twisted Tom is away running in fourth. And then it's Gormley, J-Boy's Echo, Patch and Senior Investment. Multiplier on the outside of Looking at Lee and Hollywood Handsome in a bite of a tight spot there. Oh, he had to steady Hollywood Handsome in early. Traffic trouble on that first turn. Looks like the rider's out of the irons on him. The first quarter was 23.88 seconds. That is a fast pace here in the Belmont Stakes, and Meantime is on the outside of Irish War Cry. These two are stride for stride on the lead. And again, Hollywood Handsome and Florent Giroux lost his irons, and they are going past horses on the far outside, but he's got no control here, and he's up into third position as they go to the backstretch after a 48.66 half mile. And then it's Patch running about two lengths off the lead right now. Then Multiplier on the outside. Taprid is down toward the rail. Gormley and J-Boy's Echo are there as you see Hollywood Handsome start to back out of the field. Senior Investment is on the outside of Twisted Tom, who's six lengths from the front. Then Looking at Lee. So they continue up the backstretch. Halfway home in the Belmont Stakes, three quarters in 1 minute, 14.01 seconds. Irish War Cry and Rajiv Mirage, the comeback kid, on top here by a half a length. Mike Smith has Meantime on the outside, second. In behind them, on the rail, is Taprit and Gormley to the outside. Patch is fifth as they make their way for the far turn. Robbie Alvarado asking more from J-Boy's Echo now. Then Senior Investment and Twisted Tom. Looking at Lee, rides the rail around the far turn here. Still seven lengths behind Irish War Cry, who heads round the turn with a length lead. Meantime, starting to lose ground. Gormley and Taprit are within their runs now. They are third, and now second on the inside is Taprit heading after front-running Irish War Cry, and they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry, and on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes. They have defeated Irish War Cry. Patch was third.
Unbelievable. That Taprit just, in what was just, you know, you thought Irish War Cry had it. You're like, oh, he's just not going to have enough. And it was just all of a sudden, this sudden burst, this adrenaline, this heart that Taprit had, and just all of a sudden just lit past Irish War Cry for the win. It was unbelievable. Didn't you think that was incredible?
It was incredible. And you know, he was using the whip on that horse for a while, and the horse just was not responding. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. The horse just got his second wind and then just took off. It just looked like he wasn't going to have it until the very end.
So Taprit's sire is a horse named Taprit. And aside from American Pharoah, do you know Taprit babies have won the Belmont like four of the last 5 years?
Oh, really?
Talk about a horse that is bred for distance. Why didn't we know that ahead of time? Because we all would have picked him. Because talk about bloodlines for distance. It was unreal.
It was. And then can we give some kudos to Patch coming in third?
I was so happy. I was so excited to see him up there. And Mike Gormley, he was up there, you know, he came in fourth. So, Jennifer, what happened to your horse?
Well, I need to stop picking horses. At the rate I'm going, they're just going to fall down at the gate. No, it's just not fair. He didn't even finish the race.
So Hollywood Handsome is the horse we're talking about. Jen picked to win, mind you. And Hollywood Handsome broke out. Who's his jockey? I can't remember.
Florent Giroux.
That's right. The French dude. He broke out of the gate, and it's like he ran into the butt of traffic and like stumbled or something, and then Giroux lost his irons. And you could see him trying to pick his foot back up and put it back in the irons. But dude gets props because that horse is at a dead gallop and he is holding on with no stirrups and did not fall off. guys are such athletes.
And, you know, used to catch or used to ride at the track, used to breeze horses, and those stirrups are so high up. I guess it's almost, you cannot get back in them, I assume.
There is, if you've lost two, there's zero ways. If you're at a dead gallop and you've lost one, you ain't getting them back. I mean, because it's up under your hip.
Yeah, and we watched it a couple times, and his saddle slid to the side, too, when that happened. He was lucky mm-hmm. he didn't go under the horse. He was really lucky. And then that horse raced to third place with him sitting straight up with no stirrups, and the fact that he stayed in the saddle at all for that whole distance before he could get him wound down was incredible.
It was amazing. It was like, I mean, that guy should have got our daily winning for sure. Florent Giroux, very well ridden. That was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I mean, no, if you don't like horse racing or you don't like Belmont or anything like that, you still have to go watch just for the utter stickability of this guy.
Yeah. I would like to share with you how this whole thing went down according to several different news sources.
Yeah.
Okay, and it makes it really funny. This is really funny. This is on the Bleacher Report.
Oh, God.
Jockey Florent Giroux was unable to stay on his mount after losing his irons early. Hollywood Handsome burst up the outside all the way to third place before being angled away from the field by his alert rider.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This one from the Gentry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say translation is he almost died and he pulled the outside rein because that was the only rein something he could grab.
The Gentry Business Leader saw it go down like this. Only 10 horses finished after long shot Hollywood Handsome was pulled up after breaking his irons in the first turn.
Yeah, there was
breaking his iron.
Yeah, there was so much, how scared must he have been to want to with that horse wanting to stay in the race? If he had come off, he'd have been dead. He'd been trampled. I mean, it was he had to get that horse turned out. Although I think that horse would have ran the whole way. I don't think that was going to be a problem.
I thought, oh my God, he's going to go for it. He's going to like just sit there and go for it. But
I thought that for a second too.
Those irons were underneath his thighs. I mean, he's dead gallop with those irons pressing in between his thighs and the horse. Well, how painful is that?
That leads me to a question. You used to work at the track and ride the horses. Do the jockeys actually have a no stirrup November where they practice that too?
Hell no.
I mean, do they practice that at all?
No, they don't practice no stirrups because these horses are way too volatile to have no stirrups on purpose. But they do. I mean, these guys work out all the time and they have now. Equisizers. They all have equisizers. They all work out all the time. When they're not riding, they're riding the equisizer.
Well, congratulations to him for staying on. He deserves a medal just for not dying during that race. Now, let's go talk before we run out of time. We have to talk a little bit about a post that you, and if anybody missed it, go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and you will see it there. So, Jamie posted this picture on, Saturday morning, was it? Tell us about it.
Well,
we lost you, Jamie. I think you're going to need to move to a better spot.
Okay, hold on a second. Here we go.
She's on her cell phone. And we're going to find out the reason why she's on her cell phone and she forgot her mic here shortly.
Hey, it's not my fault. Is this any better?
It's better, yes. Thank you.
It's not my fault because I'm going to explain to you what happened. Because on Friday night, I got food poisoning. I cooked dinner. It's all my fault. I don't know what happened. I tainted something and I got so sick and I was like throwing up all night long. And we were supposed to leave.
Vegetables that do that to you.
it was like a chickpea tacos. Like it should have been very easy. So I don't know what happened. I got so sick and threw up like every hour. And we were supposed to leave the house at like 4 a.m. to catch our like 6:15 flight or something. So obviously that was not going to happen. And thank God it didn't, because I heard Magic galloping around because the pastures kind of go next to my house. And I heard galloping, and I thought, well, that's not good. Nobody ever just gallops voluntarily at my house. So I walked outside and Magic is just galloping up and back and whinnying. And I thought, what the heck is going on? And I look out and I'm like, where's Zeus? Where is Zeus? And I can't find him. And I'm looking around and I'm looking, I'm like, Zeus, where are you, buddy? And all the gates are closed. And I'm like, oh my God, did he jump out again? You know, what happened? And all of a sudden, we have this big giant shed that has equipment that's out in the pasture. And it's just up against the fence, very off to the side. It's been there for the 8 years we've lived in the house. And nobody's ever messed with it. And I look and I see a head, the big white blaze, peering out from behind the shed, which is not good. So I'm like, oh my God. So I go, and at this point I've been puking all night. I feel like death. And so I have one of my friends, I'm like, Jen, grab a halter and meet me at the shed. She's like, uh-oh. So she grabs a halter. We run out there and I'm able to, on the other side of the fence, so there's the shed and there's the fence, and there's seriously like 8 inches between the shed and the fence. 8 inches. That's all there is. Zeus has somehow gone in between the fence and the shed and wedged himself in there to try to eat grass. And he got so far in there that he couldn't eat grass because he can't reach down because there's 8 inches. The fence is bowing out to the left. The inside of the wall of the shed is like bowing into the right, and he's stuck. And all he's trying to do is go forward, but there's just a fence in front of him. They can't go forward. So I get the halter on him and I'm like, all right, buddy, this is where you and me are going to have to trust each other. I'm going to have to ask you to back up. And he just was terrified, but uncomfortable. And he'd been there. There was like 3 or 4 piles of poop. He'd been there for a long time. He might've wedged himself in there like midnight. And
he was, so when you look at this picture, I mean, you're not kidding about there being 8-10 inches. And he was, I mean, his belly was touching the fence and the building and stuck. So, and there's lots of poop right behind him. So you're right. He had been there for a while.
Yeah, he had been there for a while. Magic, poor Magic. She'd been galloping around for a while trying to, she was all sweaty. She was just a fit to be tied. She just did not know what to do. So
she was trying to help Magic.
I know. She alerted Mama. She's like, she saved her brother because, you know, we could have just driven out the driveway. If she wouldn't have galloped around, I might not have noticed.
Do you know what would have happened, by the way, if that had been Scooter in Magic's place? Scooter would have went up and bit his butt for hours and then turned around and kicked him.
Just... Oh, Magic, she saved the day. She's a hero. So basically, I put the halter on him and I'm like, dude, we're going to have to get through this together. And I'm on the outside of the fence and I have Shannon and kind of wedged in front of him, like off to the side, but standing in front of him. And we're like, let's go. And I'm like working so hard to get him to back up. And I noticed that everybody around, because everybody rides that early at my house because it's not hot yet, is taking pictures. I mean, nobody's helping me.
That girl.
They're all taking pictures. Yeah. So I'm like, come on, buddy. And he couldn't back up. Like he could not take with his pelvis straight on. He could not take one step backwards because that would make his pelvis straight, and he couldn't fit when his pelvis was straight. He could only stand with one leg in front of the other. So like the only way to get out would be like to shuffle backwards. And how are you going to tell a horse to do that? At this point, I'm like, we're going to have to call the fire department. And this is going to be one of those news stories that Glenn does on Horses in the Morning by the horse that got stuck behind the shed in the fence. Like, I've just made Horses in the Morning and it's not even like the right way. Like, I'm going to be on that list of horses that got stuck. So basically he just tried so hard. And what he ended up doing was rearing straight up in the air. And I'm on the outside defense. He hooked his front legs over the side defense towards me. And I'm like, don't jump it. Like, it's
oh my God.
A 6-foot fence. I'm like, don't jump. It's so scary. And he starts leaping backwards. Like a levade is when the horse rears and jumps forward. My horse levades backwards. He reared up and started jumping backwards until he was free. And he tried so hard for me. And it was unreal to see the, well, just the number one, athleticism. Number two, sheer stupidity of what this horse did to himself. It was unbelievable. So he got himself out, and then he peed. He like got out, stretched out, and peed for like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't think about that. He couldn't pee.
He couldn't even stretch out to pee. He peed for like an hour. So, and he was completely freaked out, but he was totally fine. I brought him in. I checked him out. He was rubbed on the right side and left side of his hips. But other than that, he was fine. But what a moron. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. It was, but if I would have left at 4 a.m, Glenn, I never would have seen him. And I guarantee you, my house sitter would not know what to do. And she would have called the fire department. And
they would have come in and either cut the fence or taken the building down. It would have been one of the two.
Exactly. And how bad would it be? Like, Jamie, I had to call the fire department because your horse is stuck in the fence. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. It was amazing. So, but he, you know what? He survived. He's fine. And I've called and checked on him. And I FaceTimed with him yesterday just to make sure he's okay. And he doesn't miss me too bad. And he seems fine. So.
What a winner he is. He's just something else.
Oh my gosh. And then over the weekend, they also had the Mustang auction. And those of you who want Mustangs that were so freaked out by the prices have regulated, and the dream horse of mine, like Zeus's little brother Sven, went for $150 at the Mustang auction.
Wow,
really?
The prices, the like three horses that I wanted the most all went for like $250 to $150.
What happened to last auction? They were in the 8-10,000 range.
I know. I don't know what happened, but I guess everybody that had a lot of money that wanted a Mustang came to the sale that I got Zeus at. And
wow.
And so if you are looking for Mustang, go to the next auction, because oh my god, they were so cheap. Like the most expensive one went for $2,000.
You can't even adopt them for $150. I mean, it's just like,
I know, and they're trained. They're trained. They're green broke, you know. So $150 trained is what this horse with a flaxen mane and tail, big glaze, and three white socks went for. You can't. It was so cute. And the big white one went for $200.
Did you see what the little donkey went for?
$600 or $700.
Wow.
A driving donkey.
Yeah, I knew that one would go a little bit higher because it was so damn cute.
Well, that is the $600. Like, that's, to me, that's not very much.
Yeah, but it went for more than some of the horses, and I kind of thought it would. Just because
a lot of the horses.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in NCC, check it out. Go to the auction and get yourself a Mustang. Because oh my gosh, I was like, Chad was like, why did we go to the one we got and get that horse? It's a total nightmare. I was like, baby, but I love him.
Well, you know, the total nightmare horses are sometimes the ones who go to the top of the sport, right? I mean, they're the ones who go to the top.
Oh, yeah.
That's your punishment you have for having a horse with actually ability and some smarts. Oh, well, intelligence. I'm not sure smarts. No common sense on that one, but he's very smart.
No self-preservation.
Yeah.
No self-preservation whatsoever.
Which is bad, because those are the ones you don't... Those are tough ones to have. We've owned a couple like that over the years, and they can be dangerous to ride because they don't care.
What I've learned with riding him is that you have to limit him, because he will not limit himself. He will try until he kills himself.
Right.
He does not show... Like, he's a Mustang, and it's like I'm not allowed to show when I'm tired or hurt. So I'm just going to keep going. And you have to go, okay, buddy, we're done today. Because he will just keep going. He'll just keep going. And that's a great quality if you're looking for like a ranch horse.
Right.
That's so great if you're jumping a movable object on cross country at a dead gallop.
All right, let's take a break for our title sponsor today, and that's Omega Alpha. And we're going to be right back. We're going to be, well, you actually just left Arizona for a couple days to Oklahoma, and now we're going back to Arizona to the Arizona Dude Ranch Association. We're going to be finding out about what's available to have a little fun. Maybe you should do a meetup at a dude ranch in Arizona out there.
I'm in.
For all those people who don't want to do a cruise because they're wimps, they can go do the landlocked dude ranch vacation with you. We'll be right back.
It would be way more popular.
Connected to the shoulder bone. shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, we're back here, and if you're just joining us, Jamie does. I'm getting a couple messages. Jamie sounds like she's in a tunnel. That's because she's on her cell phone in the yard in Oklahoma at the in-law place. So that's why sounds like she's in a tunnel. We have coming up right now with us Tamara, who is with the Arizona Dude Ranch Association. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So Arizona Dude Ranches, how many are there?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, about 12 or 13. We just had a new, we're getting ready to vote on membership on a new one. Actually not new. It's reopened under different management. So we're excited to have it back.
And is the association in, does the association help with marketing? What does the association do for the dude ranches?
It does. It helps with marketing. We have our website, azdra.com. And then each member ranch has its own place on that website. We have a really tremendous comparison chart that lists a lot of amenities and then which one is available at each ranch. So people can pick and choose which ranch would best suit their needs and fulfill their Western cowboy desires. And we help with marketing. We have a lot of programs. We have different speakers in. A lot of times we have vets come in with different, you know, with the new latest, greatest advancement in equine medicine. We have a lot of, you know, technical things like insurance and what the latest labor laws are in, involving, you know, how the dude ranch employees are affected by those. So a lot of support, and it's just a big encouragement. You know, this is what's going on here. Oh, we've experienced that. This is how we solved it. A lot of times, like the ranches that are seasonal, you know, we like, okay, we have this employee, we have this wrangler. He's looking for a, you know, a seasonal position. So we just a lot of help and support for each other.
Well, I got to tell you, the chart that you have, your comparison chart, and we've looked at going to dude ranches, and I know Jamie has too, and you know, when you're going and you're taking a look, you go to each individual website, and then you're trying to look and see which one you want to do. This comparison chart, and by the way, the website, again, is azdra.com. If you go there and look at the chart, it's incredible, and all of our listeners will be happy to know that it even lists whether they what type of alcohol they have and what's available. So I just thought I'd mention that because it seems to be a priority with our listeners.
Well, that's important.
Yeah. But it's everything's on here. This it makes it so nice, especially if you're bringing a non-horsey husband or boyfriend or whatever relative along. It also lists the other activities that they can do.
Right, right. Well, it just puts it all right there in one place. Like you said, going back and forth to different websites, you get lost, you get turned around, you kind of, you can get down in the weeds and get confused, but the comparison chart just puts it right there. It's very simple. You can print it off if you want to, you know, just here it is.
Now, a lot of them are open, obviously, from fall to spring because it gets a little warm in Arizona. But then there are some that are open year round. I assume those are the ones that are more in the mountains.
Yes, we've got some in Tucson that are open year-round and then some in southern Arizona that are open year-round. A lot of it depends upon elevation.
Gotcha.
You know,
I would think that would be the only way you'd be open when it's 120 degrees out.
Now, Glenn is scared of Arizona. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. He thinks that we're literally just an oven year round.
I have to go there this weekend and for a conference, and I'm going, why? Who puts a conference in Scottsdale in the summer? And then they said, oh, it's the people who want cheap rates. And I thought, oh, yeah, that probably is pretty cheap in the summer in Scottsdale. Now, have you visited a lot of these, or do you guys actually go out and check them out? How's that work?
Yeah, so a lot of times, you know, we'll have meetings at different ranches to kind of get, you know, get everybody introduced to the different ranches and familiar. And as officers, you know, we go inspect the ranches that are applying for membership. So just to get a feel, you know, to meet the people, get a feel of the ranch.
I was looking through your members, and some of these are just absolutely beautiful. I really like the Tombstone one, actually. And then you just look through, and I love looking at the pictures, but the Tombstone Monument Ranch is so Western, it's incredible. It just fits. And then there's a little bit higher end, too, right?
We really do have quite a variety. We've got the higher end resort type ranches, if you will, and then we've got little bitty, you know, real authentic. The only, you know, if you're going to go swimming, there's a drinker right there. So we have a ranch for every person who wants to come out west and experience horseback riding in the west.
What I suggest, sorry Glenn,
is that you look at the pictures of everybody at, you know, on each website, because that's how I selected the ranch. I thought, I want to go out west and drive cattle. And so I went to like the cattle driving websites, and I thought, oh my God, all these people look really tired. And then I went to the one with like, they had a sauna and a spa. And I was like, those people look really happy. I'm going to that one. I'm not as cowgirl as I think I am.
Cattle work is hard. I mean, it is hard. It's hard. It's strenuous. You really get that adrenaline pumping, but there's not much more that's fun, you know, more fun than working cattle. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any of the ranches that offer anything that's just like truly unique and different, just really different?
Well, each ranch, because of it, ranches take on a life of their own. You know, it becomes the ranch, not the people or the horses. Just the whole ranch becomes its own living, breathing entity. Mm-hmm. And each one of those has its own unique individual flavor and ambiance and feel to it. Like Tombstone Monument is great if you want to, you just sink yourself back into the days of Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. But yet, you know, you go to Hideout Ranch and it's little tiny. This is how the individual settlers, the families built their ranches. It's small, it's family owned. Everybody does everything.
Okay. So I have a question. Jamie knows what I'm going to ask. Which has the best food?
Which has the best food?
That's always she's my not question.
She's not going to call out anybody individually. Glenn, she works for the whole organization. Glenn wants to know where he eats the most.
Yes, I want to know which has the most food and the best food. See, that's my idea. To let Jennifer go out and ride, and I'll stay behind and do the food part.
Well, every ranch has its own flavor, if you will. Again, I'm going to go back to that. You're not going to go hungry. You're just not going to go hungry anywhere you go. Some of the ranches have a more, you know, Mexican flavor, like Rancho de Losa, because of where it is and what it is, its history. You know, they probably have a little more Mexican flavor, a little more, you know, Spanish American.
Need to switch chuck wagon. There you go.
Yeah, a lot of ranches. I mean, we serve good, wholesome ranch food because it being out in the. I have noticed a lot of our guests have said, "Hey, we're so tired at the end of the day. Why? because you're out in the fresh air and the sunshine.
Yes, you got out of your house.
You're outside. Yeah, you're outside doing things that you don't normally do. You're not sitting behind a desk where mentally you get tired, but physically it's like me. When you're out on horseback all day, every day, you get tired because you're out in the fresh air and the sunshine and you're doing things, and it's a whole different way of life for those days that you're at the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jordan,
if
you had to give some tips to people who are looking at, I'm talking horse people now, we're all horse people listening to this show. So if you had to give some tips to people who want to do their first dude ranch vacation, but they don't really know what to look for, they don't know, they just don't know anything about doing a dude ranch, kind of like the people who do cruises for the first time, right? There's a lot of information, a lot of stuff. What do you advise them to do?
You want to do some research into time in the saddle. You know, a lot of the ranches, several ranches have morning and afternoon rides. Some of them offer all day rides. You know, like the larger ranches will offer a greater variety of length of ride. The smaller ranches, you know, would offer an all day ride. Like, do you want to be in the saddle 6, 7, 8 hours a day? Or do you want to be in the saddle 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon? Or 3 hours in the morning and in the pool in the afternoon? So you just have to think how much time you yourself want to be in the saddle. And then you look at the riding opportunities at each ranch. Where do they go?
Decide,
what territory do they cover?
Decide what kind of vacation you want to have, and then kind of tailor that to the website and plug it all in and see what pops out.
Yeah, I'm each of our member ranches, their websites really do an accurate job of describing what goes on at each ranch.
Well, this is pretty cool. I think it's a great website and it's a great resource if you're looking to head to Arizona. Now, Jamie, so for all of those people who don't want to do our Horse Lovers Cruise next year, who were whining that we weren't doing anything horsey, you need to run the Western version of that out in Arizona and do the landlocked version.
Let's do it. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. If you guys would like to next year come and take a real vacation, not just cruise around on some boat, possibly sink to your death in the middle of the ocean, then let's set up a dude ranch trip. Let's do it.
We should look at doing that though for all those that don't want to join us next year. We'll have to be in touch with you again about that. We'll get back in touch with you about that, Tamara.
Oh, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. There's a variety. There's a ranch for everyone.
Sounds good.
And then you just keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back because we have so many others.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. The website again is azdra.com. azdra.com. We'll put a link to it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page as well as in the show notes for today's show. Thanks for joining us.
Great, thank you.
So we might have to take a look at doing that. Seriously.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
And, you know, with all of these options, you know, we could probably find something. The one thing I have noticed, and you probably noticed this too, is they are not a totally inexpensive option for vacationing. The ones we looked at were really on the high side.
No, but you got to think about, like, the overhead. I mean, you want an authentic Western ranch vacation. There's horses they pretty much take care of everything when you're at a ranch. I mean, 3 meals a day.
It's like going on a cruise that way. Everything's covered. Yeah.
Everything's covered, but you also have, like, horses to deal. You know, I mean, you're not going to lay on a ship deck, you know, you're going to be out there riding and it being in the country. And I can't even imagine the overhead that goes along with that. That's why they're not the cheapest options, but by God, I mean, the couple of dude ranches I've done, I did the one Triangle X Ranch in Jackson Hole is one of my all-time favorites. And then I did the one Diamond D up in Idaho. And those places are just, they're some of the best vacations I've ever had. The people that you meet, the horses you ride, the scenery you see, it's unforgettable. So it's interesting to hear about the ones in my home state of Arizona, like, staycation, I'm in.
Here's one, The Art of Dutch Oven Cooking at one of the ranches in January. You go for 4 days.
There you go.
And they teach you how to cook outdoors. I don't think there's horses involved. It's all just food. So there you go. That's perfect. I like that one.
Well, you know what, Jennifer? You dropped him off at his camp, and then you come and see me, and we'll ride all for 4 days.
Now, actually, I'm looking at the prices here, and they are comparable, I would say, to a cruise. You know, they're right about the same rate that a cruise would be. Because it is all-inclusive. You get everything, and that's...
And horses.
And horses.
Which is way better than plunging to your depth in a sinking ship in the middle of the ocean.
And Arizona's a good spot to do that, actually, because flying into Phoenix is relatively cheap for most places as airports go.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jamie will pick everybody up in her pickup truck, and y'all can ride in the back. She'll take you up.
Come on. Let's do it. I'm in. Let's go.
All right. Let's take a break for a song, and then we're going to come back. We have Leslie joining us today. She's bringing a couple of the fellow riders for this year's Mongol Derby, and we're going to learn about them and why they chose to be totally crazy, too. What do you want to hear today? Anything special there, Jamie?
I mean, you can always give me some Jared.
Okay, well, I can probably arrange that.
Does Jared getting stuck behind a building and between a fence, and then you have to like save its life without calling the fire department?
Riding wild ponies.
There you go. Yeah, done.
Got my Cadillac packed, she's loaded and ready. Gonna take her down the road to the rodeo. And with a new tank of fuel and a cool Mountain Dew, I'm gonna do just what I wanna do. We'll be riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, shooting for the title, the champion of the world. We'll just show up, take the money and run. Even if I don't win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Granddaddy said I need to find a girl and settle down. It's a secret to a happy life. I'm feeling pretty good. Man, he must have been right. I just found my one and only for the night. Well, Bucky's on the phone and darling's heading home. Me, I just travel wherever I may roam. I just show up, take the money and run. Sometimes I don't win, but I still have fun. Riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. Girls, finally won the title, the champion of the world. We just show up, take the money and run. Even though I always win, well, I still have fun. Just riding wild ponies and chasing pretty girls, driving all around the world. We'll be driving all around the world. Another happy million miles around the world.
That's Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, who is on her cell phone in Oklahoma. And Coach Jen is producing as well today. And as usual on Mondays about this time, we have our friend Leslie from Horse Nation on. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Just wanted to jump in and give you a big hug, okay?
Thank you so much. I lost a special horse of mine on Friday, a Spree, who is my event horse. He'd been retired for a couple years, and I'm glad he got to live a couple years of just have a couple years of just being fat and happy and getting snuggled. But I'd had him for about 8 years. He colicked, and that was tough. But I had Riverglen horse trials over the weekend, and it just couldn't have been a better situation. Just to be around friends all weekend and have something to sort of focus on and remember all the good parts of why we do this and why it's all worth it.
I just want to give you a big hug. I saw that you had a lot of support at River Glen. And I mean, that's the eventing community for you, you know, everybody finds out about something like that and they all just wrap their arms around you. So anyway, much love to you, girl. How was Princess over the weekend?
Oh, she was such a star. She just packed me around and was such a sweetheart. Except for in the dressage, of course, that would be too much to ask.
How many times did I tell you ponies don't do dressage?
Yeah. Oh, she went in full on pony mode, like rogue pony mode. Went in that ring, just green grass slobber. Like I felt like just slinging her little nose around. Kind of ran away with me, wouldn't walk, just up there, just like trying to keep my pony in the ring. But that's kind of par for the course. She was good for the rest.
Okay.
That's one of those dressage tests. You get your test back, Glenn. Sorry. And this is what happened to me and Zeus at the last horse trial we did. Was like, you're supposed to canter on the left lead here. And probably you cantered on the left lead in the last 8 feet of the movement. Okay. And then you got you get a 4 on the score and you're like, well, that was generous. You're like, wow.
Oh yeah. Nice. Yeah. I think our comment was a tactful ride on an excited horse.
Those are comments you don't want to read.
Yeah.
We really need to come up with a new sport that is eventing 2.0. We just eliminate dressage. We'll come up with something fun to do instead of dressage and then have cross country and jumping. So we'll keep those two. We'll eliminate dressage and we'll come up with something different and fun.
I think it's a gallop with your nose in the air challenge. How?
Yeah.
Fast, can your horse gallop with its nose straight up in the air while you're attempting to collect it?
We can win that one.
We can win that one, Leslie. We got that.
I'm telling you, we could make a fortune if we just came up with this new sport. I'm telling you, we could. All these eventers would bail out of eventing in 2 minutes. Well, Leslie, you are not here to talk about eventing, are you?
Nope.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, there's another little thing going on.
Horse Nation.
This episode is Do Try This at Home.
Leslie, I'm...
Failure is always an option.
Any result's a result, that's for sure.
Or not.
And your guests are ready.
All right. Yeah, I'm so excited about today's guests. So a funny thing about the U.S. contingent that's headed to the Mongol Derby this year is there is a strong, healthy representation of Southern ladies. Represent. We've got a couple gals from three gals from South Carolina. We've got a gal from Tryon, and I'm coming from Tennessee, and I, as I told Glenn, I would not bet against a Southern broad who has got their mind set on getting something done. So I don't think Margaret knows quite what's coming their way. but today we've got on with us, we've got Rachel Land from Easley, South Carolina. And we've got Claire Summers from Pendleton, South Carolina, and I think they're sort of coming into this in partnership. They seem fairly determined not to let one another die. So, you know, you want a buddy like that on your side. So welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Well, first,
yes, and this is Claire. So, thank you so much.
Well, you guys. So, tell us one at a time, sort of how you're involved with horses, what you do, and how did you guys meet each other and decide to do this race?
We'll start with Rachel. Yep.
Okay. Well, I've pretty much grown up on horseback, like many horse crazy people. Actually, I grew up in the saddlebred show world in Texas, which is a completely different venue than endurance riding. And I didn't actually get exposed to endurance riding until about 2 years ago when my husband surprised me and bought me a horse. I hadn't had any horses for about 15 years. And turned out an old saddlebred friend of mine posted something on Facebook about Tevis, and it's the hardest 100-mile race in North America. And I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, there's actually a sport out there where I can go ride my horse for like 24 hours straight. This sounds amazing. And it was funny because I had actually just had my fourth child. So the excuse to get out of the house, get on my horse and ride literally all day long sounded very appealing. Mm-hmm. So I learned about endurance riding through that and ended up contacting the AERC to find a mentor in my area because I knew nothing about trail etiquette, let alone conditioning a very young horse to go for 25 or even 50 miles. So through that avenue, somebody ended up giving me Claire's phone number, and she just happened to live 5 miles down the road. So she came and picked me up in her little trailer, and I went on my first conditioning ride, and it was 10 miles, and I just smiled the whole time, and it was fantastic. I got hooked and went and crewed for her with my four-month-old baby strapped to my chest and got hooked. I guess you could say the rest is history. We've been riding together ever since. We make a really good team. And we thought, gosh, what better way to race 600 miles across the wilderness of Mongolia than with a really great team member that isn't going to let you die.
Can you guys do that for Leslie, too? Can you just keep an eye on her while you're out there?
You know.
She's become part of the show after 6 years.
If we see her, yeah, if we see her, sure, we'll say, you know, eat some food, drink some water, get all back right on the horse and go.
And how about you, Claire?
Well, I believe that most of us who have this equestrian disease get it in utero. So we start out, and our first words are probably horsey, and I've been riding ever since I can remember, but I didn't get my first horse until I was 34, already married, 3 children, et cetera. And she happened to be an Arabian thoroughbred cross, and I never thought of endurance until my riding instructor said, you should try endurance. And I went, really? I'm not competitive. My horse is lazy. So anyway, we tried it, and I found out that I am competitive, and my horse was not lazy. Mm-hmm. And I now have over 10,000 miles. I've done Tevis. In fact, just finished the Old Dominion 100 last weekend, 2 days ago.
Wow.
And I just love to ride. I heard about the Derby a couple of years ago, and was intrigued, asked my husband if I could go, and when he saw the price tag, he said, there is no way that you are going on that ride and spending that much money. And for some reason, last year, he kind of popped up and said, you need to put your application in. And I went, okay. And I did. And Rachel and I both got accepted. And I guess what intrigued me about the Derby is you're going to a whole different culture. You're get to ride 25 different ponies, which is awesome. And I just love being in different cultures and experiencing new things and riding different horses.
Leslie, let me jump in here.
Yeah.
Leslie, are you scared? She just said she rode 10,000 miles. Like, she's ridden 10,000 miles.
That's over a period of, like, years. Yeah.
No, I know that.
Yeah,
that's not at one time, but...
I know, but Leslie, yeah. Oh my gosh, these are like... These are hardcore endurance chicks, man.
They are so hardcore. And wow. I'm just lucky that I've met them because you guys have been so sweet to me. So we've been, you know, we kind of met on Facebook and we've been messaging back and forth, and they've let me, you know, like they've really given me some good tips on what to wear and like, you know, they found trying to find insurance for this thing has been a real real pain. And they found someone, a company that would insure us and told me about them. So I'm just glad to
know. What are they insuring you for, by the way?
Death.
Death? Okay.
Death.
Checking.
Death and dismemberment, you know.
Those little things.
Accidental.
Yeah,
Claire, ride insurance. If we get hurt before, like we'll get
totally
some money back.
Leslie, don't feel like you're out of the game. I'm a total newbie to endurance riding. I probably only have 300 competition miles. I've only been doing this for a year and a half, so you're going to be just fine.
Well, you know what? There are some equalizers, aren't there? There's, by the way, Claire's all excited to ride these ponies. Have you heard and seen the results of some of these ponies? That's one thing. That's an equalizer.
You know, I know that their definition of a broke horse is a lot different from our definition of a broke horse.
Yes.
But I do train my own horses. I'm used to green horses. Not necessarily buckers, but my understanding is that most of these horses are bolters, not buckers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just have to stay on when the wild dogs are after us.
That's all.
Hey, my friend who rode in the Derby 2 years ago, she just said, you know what? Let them bolt. They know where they're going. You know, just get them to bolt in the general direction. If you start messing with them, that's when they step in the marmot hole. She's like, just let them bolt in the direction you're supposed to go.
Well, that's what, because I was talking to someone who did it a couple of years ago, actually this weekend. And I said, you know, the biggest challenge is going to realize that we're not in control. That we have to let the pony do its thing. And she said, you don't have any choice. They don't have any brakes anyway.
You learned that day one, I assume.
Yeah, I think in training, I hope. But it's still hard to give up control. It's, you know, one of the first things you teach them is that you're in control. And these ponies, you know, you're not.
Well,
it won't work out well. We'll end up doing a somersault. Falling into a marmot hole or something.
Now, the other equalizer, of course, is the fermented mare's milk. So that's the other equalizer. And one of our auditors posted this weekend that Andrew Zimmerman did a episode where he actually went there and had fermented mare's milk. So did you go watch Leslie, yet?
No.
We'll post that on our Facebook page so you can all go watch and learn from Andrew.
Glenn,
I've heard it tastes like liquid blue cheese.
Oh. Wow.
Yummy.
Glenn has to bring up the food in every single episode.
Yeah, I do.
I swear. He really does.
Yeah, okay.
So what if you guys
can all practice on moonshine in the South, I guess.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
If you can keep that down. keep.
I've also heard it's more of a ceremonial thing that, you know, maybe at the beginning of the race and then again at the completion of the race that we'll just take a sip. But I don't think we're going to be offered a bunch when we're at the GERS and it's going to be our only form of hydration where we have to drink it.
Overrated. So what have you guys been doing besides obviously spending lots of time with your butt in the saddle to prepare for this thing?
Oh, we've been, one of the things we learned early on from previous riders was that you better be in the best shape of your whole life. Well, I'm 60 or going to be 60 and, we've been doing CrossFit and I can say that I'm in the best shape of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, you know, we certainly haven't quit riding. We've been riding a lot, both of us. We did get saddles shipped to us from the, Adventurous. So we've been practicing in the saddles that we will actually use, trying to get our bags ready. That's a challenge with 11 pounds.
And
we've also, I took a self-defense class this past weekend from a man who is currently a private security contractor for the U.S. government, because we've heard, you know, there have been a number of situations that have not been good for women over there. And, you know, Claire and I especially, we've got each other's back for sure. But you never know when you're going to, you know, get into a sticky situation where you're going to need to know how to defend yourself. And defending yourself while you're on horseback is going to be an added challenge. Because we've heard, you know, about the bandits that come up alongside you on their motorcycles and, you know, try to take your gear or try to take you or whatever it is they're after. And one thing that I've loved seeing, in some of the mail outs that the Adventurous have put is make sure, ladies, that you know your horse is your getaway vehicle. So take good care of it. So we've been taking self-defense classes. And another thing we've learned from a previous Derby rider was that we've got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So we are, you know, toughening up mentally and obviously physically. And Leslie, you do CrossFit, so you know, you know, you're in good shape. but I think that's going to be an advantage, you know, at least for the three of us. I know that, you know, we're gonna be strong. And that's our, you know, our team name is Strong and Crazy. Because you got to have a little bit of both to go out to Mongolia to race over 600 miles on wild ponies.
So. That's right. Speaking of crazy, there's one thing in your rider bio, Rachel, that I have to ask you about. You said you described yourself as an ostrich jockey, as one of your many talents. tell us about that.
Okay. Well, first, let me say, I never in a million years thought that racing ostriches would get me anywhere in life, but obviously it helped me get into the Mongol Derby. So pretty excited about that. Actually, I worked at the Dixie Stampede in Branson, Missouri for a couple of years, and they have ostrich racing during the show. And I was able to partake in that almost daily. And I got to say, those are some dumb animals that the good Lord made. They are ridiculous. I was also actually learning how to be a trick rider, too, which was really, really fun.
Oh, my gosh.
So those are just some of my little talents that I have hidden that may or may not be of use in Mongolia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. My respect for you just went up an even higher notch. I mean, I'm familiar with as a Dolly Parton, you know, super fan. I'm familiar with the Dixie Stampede. I've seen the ostrich races, and that is incredible. I love the Dixie Stampede. I really do. Like, and that's actually my dream job is, like, if, you know, go.
Oh, it was awesome. I got paid to ride a horse and ride ostriches. It was a ball. It was one of my favorite jobs I've ever had.
Well, if your pony dumps you over there and there's an ostrich around, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
Oh, yeah. I'll just hop on and go. Steering them is a bit tricky, but you learn how to shift your weight here and there to get them to kind of coax them in one direction or another.
Rachel, I do have a question for you. You're the mother of four boys. How old are they?
I've got 9, 7, 3, and 2-year-old boys.
Oh, you know, I grew up in a family of four boys, and I know what you're going through, and I know what we put our poor mother through. So good on you there. How does the whole family, including your husband, feel about this whole thing?
Well, fortunately, I have a superstar of a husband who, from the moment I mentioned that I would like to apply for the Mongol Derby, he has just been 100% behind my back, making it happen, getting side jobs to pay for the entry fee. And of course, my kids think I'm like some sort of, you know, superhuman superhero, which is really
Woman.
Cool to set an example. Yeah, it's cool to set an example of, you know, not being afraid of your, you know, any kind of fears. And
you're living your dreams in front of them.
Yeah,
exactly. What an amazing example you're setting for them. Like, don't give up. Work hard and achieve your goals. That's the best thing any mom can do.
Living life in fear of the what if is not a way to live. And unfortunately, a lot of my extended family has that viewpoint, and I've kind of been a little bit blacklisted by them. They've refused to support me. But my parents and, of course, my husband have been, my parents have been a little bit supportive. They're excited for me, I should say that. But the extended family is like, I can't believe you're doing this. This is not what you need to be doing at this stage in your life with young kids. What if, you know? So I just can't live like that. I've got to, you know, do what I love and let my kids see that so they can do that when they're, you know, old enough
you
to make
go,
their
girl.
Own decisions too.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I think I have a 4-year-old, and he watched me compete 3 weeks ago. And I just don't feel like there's anything better I can do for my kid than to have him see me working hard and achieving a goal. That's such a great example to set for them. Screw your family, girl. Get out there and do it. Live your dreams and let the chips fall where they may. And just know that you are proving something to your kids, and you're just going to inspire them for the rest of your life. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
I sure hope so. And I'm going to have a blast doing it too.
Yeah,
you are, girl.
Claire, I did notice that the entries this year do seem to be, and I'm right up there with you age-wise, do seem to be a little bit on the older side. And I was actually a little bit surprised. Well, not a one cost, you can afford it a little better and to take the time and do all of that. I understand that. But that's not been the case in the past. So it was kind of inspiring to see that this year, too.
I guess as you get older, it's kind of like, I work in the healthcare field, and at some point you realize you don't always have good health, either by choice or not. So if there's something you want to do that is this extreme, you know, go ahead and sign up and do it.
Oh my gosh, you guys are the most inspiring people we've ever had on the show. I'm so excited for you, Leslie. Look at this women you get to hang out with. How cool.
Yeah, and there's a sign around town, and it's for a Senior Solutions, but it says, age ain't nothing but a number. And it has this man, he looks like he's about 80 years old, doing an exercise routine. But one of my latest favorite phrases is from Abraham Lincoln, and it's, in the end, what matters is not how many years in your life, but how much life in your years.
Life in your years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, ladies.
Oh, my God, sign me up. I'm going with you.
Ladies, we wish you the best.
Again, you know. Life's an adventure. You don't need to be sitting around watching TV and, you know,
you know what?
Watching everybody else have fun.
Mm-hmm. I did sign up, but they didn't call me back. So
you hadn't ridden an ostrich.
Maybe okay. next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next
year. Well, you
year.
Need to you go. Need to, you know, persevere. Try again. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you guys are awesome. You guys
yeah,
are awesome.
They really are. I can't wait to meet you guys.
Strong and crazy.
So much fun.
Strongandcrazy.com. And they also do have a fundraiser on there. You'll find it on their website. You're going to find lots of great pictures of them as well. Go to Strong and Crazy. Perfect name, by the way. Go to strongandcrazy.com. And we look forward to following your adventures. We're going to be tracking all of you every day during the Mongol Derby. And, you know, just keeping an eye on, make sure Leslie's still around. So we will definitely be tracking you guys as well. And good luck this year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us
well,
on
thank
the
you.
Show.
All right. Thank you both.
Bye. We'll see you soon.
Well, Leslie, you're going to have some good company.
Oh, man.
Good find,
yeah.
Leslie. Good
what
guess.
Cool ladies.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you found some more. You have some coming up next week, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Do yeah that we've got and actually the our whole crew southern ladies are getting together at the end of the month to go trail riding and try on and camp out a little bit and hang and I'm sure drink some wine and so
wine
it's
bra.
Gonna be man it's gonna be so good to go over there and have some you know have some buddies already and you know that
oh, I
makes
think that's
just
critical.
Feeling like you're not alone. Makes,
don't you
makes
think that's huge... critical? I think that's critical, actually.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially as a female, you know, I'm not saying that you guys aren't strong. I'm talking about the other issues. As a female, I think it's important that, like they were talking about, take the self-defense classes and ride with friends, you know? So
you're like, we're strong and crazy. Don't mess with us. Come on, bring it at me. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting to hear her talk about also being safe. You know, because of the worries there, and so that's good. I'm glad to hear that too. I think you're going to have a whole lot of friends.
Different.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a whole lot of friends on the trip. And well, good. This is great. I'm glad you guys are all getting together. And then, don't you head to Texas soon too?
Yeah. That's next weekend, or not this weekend, but the weekend after that, for sure. So,
yay.
And ride with Devin. So
Devin's going to torture you for a couple days.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. You're going to have, you're going to be ready. You're going to have an amazing time. It's going to be incredible.
Oh,
and you're going to rock it, girl. And win. Just win the whole thing. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I think she's just trying to live. I don't think winning is it. There's a lot of luck involved there too from the winners we've talked to in the past, you know, just you know, the right ponies, the right everything pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going in with the right attitude. You're going to do fine, and congratulations on getting together with all these guys. I think it's going to just be a whole, you're going to make lifetime friends here in your little Mongol Derby sorority.
Absolutely. The Mongol Derby.
Let's see. MDS. It's
Derby.
Perfect. MDS, Mongol Derby Sorority. You need shirts.
Yeah.
And a pledge. We'll come up with a pledge for the next time, all right? We'll work on the pledge.
Okay.
We'll put the auditors to work on a pledge.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Mongol Derby people. There's no pants. It's just Sisterhood of the Traveling Mongols.
Thank you, Leslie, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, take care, you guys.
All right,
love you, girl.
Mwah.
That's funny. Well, you sound like you're blowing off the face of the earth there.
I know. It's getting a little windy here in Oklahoma.
So we're just
here comes Lucas.
We'll just call it a day. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Speaking of endurance riding, that's what's coming up tomorrow. Karen will be here talking all about endurance riding. So one of the fastest growing disciplines in the horse world. So we'll be doing that on tomorrow's show. And Jamie, you're back Wednesday?
I'm sorry, say that again. Lucas was talking to me at the same time.
You're back Wednesday?
I am back on, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a microphone. Don't you want somebody who's like more professional than me to host a show with you?
We'll have a show on Wednesday. I'm not sure who will be here. But I am excited, though, because I am flying to Phoenix on Thursday, and you and I are going to be doing a show live on Friday together from the American Horse Publications.
Let's save it up for that.
All right, we'll save it up for that. We'll do the show together. Thank you to the American Horse Publications, by the way, for allowing us to do this and for promoting the heck out of it. They've been promoting the heck out of the fact. Now, we'll be a little later on Friday because I can't get any of these journalists to get up at 6 in the morning and join us. So we're gonna be starting at 10:30 Pacific time, I think it is, out there. We'll let you know more about that as the week goes on and post that. But it's going to be a little bit later in the morning. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have fun in Oklahoma.
Oh, thank you. Stay nerdy, guys.